Welcome to the Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology and this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of the Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews informed and entertaining guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to anyone wondering where all this is taking us. And now, your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski.
Today's episode of the Social Network Show is brought to you in part by PulseInsights.com. Pulse Insights collaborates with you to design one-question microsurveys to find out what you most need to know about what your website visitors need from you. Please go to PulseInsights.com, take a look, and ask for a demo of how they can help make your current analytics much more valuable. Many people are wondering, where are the jobs these days? If you've been a regular listener to the Social Network Show, you know that several of our guests have reported that there are jobs to be found in digital marketing. Yes, this is one area in which employers are bemoaning the lack of job candidates with the training and skills needed to get the job done right. Today, you'll hear from someone who said, you know, we've got to do something about this. Ian Dodson and his partners at Digital Marketing Institute set about analyzing the work and the skills needed and are now the leading global provider of digital education. I'm your host, Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist, Dr. J, welcoming you to the Social Network Show, and especially to our guest, Ian Dodson. Thank you for joining us, Ian.
Thank you, Jane. Great to be talking to you.
I think it's important for our listeners to know when and how you saw an unmet need for systematic training in digital skills. How did this need become obvious to you?
Well, I suppose I had the great benefit and the joy of running a digital marketing agency for about 4 or 5 years. And both myself and my partner in crime, a gentleman called Anthony Quigley, ended up merging two digital agencies back in, I think it was 2007. And I suppose we just faced one simple problem. We just couldn't get good staff. We just couldn't find people with the type of skills that we needed. And if you just kind of project yourself back to 2007, this was pre-global downturn. This was on the back of a quite booming economy in both Ireland and Europe at the time. And I'm talking to you today from Dublin. And, you know, we very much prided ourselves on being what we call the Celtic Tiger and a buoyant economy built on the back of definitely hardware, software and digital. But mm-hmm. we just couldn't get people with the right skills. And when I say the right skills, we looked at college graduates. We looked at people in the marketplace and nobody had any real formal training or any structured training in digital marketing at that stage. And in fact, not only did they not have training, I mean, half the battle at that point was still actually convincing people of the importance of digital channels. But in a buoyant economy, it's very hard to convince people of the need to do much except continue to gain customers in that sense. So it really was that motivation was we started literally creating boot camps for our own staff. We looked at the percentage of college degrees that were focused on digital. And when we surveyed colleges across Europe, we found anywhere at that point between 5 and 10% of their content was real digital marketing content. And by the way, for a lot of colleges, not a lot has changed. It comes to their marketing degrees, which is a whole other day's conversation. But really, that was our motivation on day one. Find people who we could actually employ. And so what we ended up doing was creating our own training programs initially for our own staff. And we put them through fairly rigorous boot camps, brought a lot of practitioners in to talk to them. And then very quickly, our clients started asking us for that type of support for their staff as well, to ensure that they got the skills. And then we started opening them up to the public. And that's really where it kicked off back in 2008, 2009, where we started bringing practitioners into the classroom, people who were working at the coalface every day on digital marketing. And what I mean by that is people who were literally delving into Google AdWords and solving problems and getting effective click-through rates and looking at return on investment and sending email marketing campaigns and tracking open rates and click-through rates on those and really tying spend on digital back to the results and kind of key performance indicators in their business. So that was our motivation on day one, and our method was to very much base it in what industry is doing.
Well, that is something, unfortunately, as you say, academia is not really oriented toward. It's almost as if it's surprising that that would be the case in business schools, but I suppose this certain amount of it is just part of the territory that I like what your approach is. Look at what is needed, what are the skills, and teach those. And then you will have someone not only employable, you're looking at it from the other side, finding the staff that have the skills.
Yeah, so. Very much so. I think a key part of that, though, and I suppose that really speaks to the evolution of the Digital Marketing Institute over the past 5, 6, 7 years, was that once you teach somebody something, how do you prove that they know what they're doing? And this is one of the, motivations for us. Digital Marketing Institute programs, certification programs, are now available in colleges and universities in about 60 countries around the world. So what we did is we actually, gathered the industry around what we were teaching, had them validate it. So our Syllabus Advisory Council has representatives from all the big digital players, and Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Microsoft, eBay, PayPal, all of these type of guys. They validate the syllabus, which allows us to create a single industry-driven standard, a global standard. And this really is where DMI comes into its own, in that our role and our goal has very much been to try and help the digital industry to grow up a little bit.
That is excellent. And I want to know more about that. Another side to this, too, though, is that even if you personally have all the digital skills you could ask for, you'd still only have 24 hours a day. So it is great to have access to millions of creative and professional services from people who can do what you can't get to. So here I'd like to take a moment to explain an amazing online services marketplace, Fiverr.com. That's the word five with two R's. And say you're looking for a new logo, help with internet marketing, search engine optimization, any digital service really, just go to Fiverr.com, sign up for free, select from 150 different categories of service, and pick your pro. That's Fiverr.com. And here is your promo code. It is lowercase THE, uppercase SNS, as in the social network show. And that will get you 20% off your first purchase. So enter the promo code the SNS at the beginning of the payment process to get this great discount. Fiverr.com is the easiest way to get everything done at an unbeatable value. So you can find any digital service you need on Fiverr with just one click. However, if you want to have people on staff, or yourself if you're a small business owner or even medium size, then you can turn to Digital Marketing Institute, and we are speaking with Ian Dodson, president and co-founder of that institute. So you are about to tell me, Ian, about how you engage the industry itself to set the standards so that you could reassure them. They would know. It would be very obvious that people who have a certificate or have taken a course from a Digital Marketing Institute really have the skills. So tell us how did you develop that?
Yeah, I suppose really what it speaks to is this, one of the problems I think that the digital industry faces is this constant need to innovate and disrupt. And it's almost become an obsession. It's almost become an unhealthy obsession in the pursuit of the latest and the newest, is that mm-hmm. we always have to be perceived to be innovating and disrupting. But real longevity, real growth, real stability in any industry comes from your ability to coalesce or to codify or group around a set of agreed standards. And you see that right across software or hardware or smartphones, or where in order to actually solidify an industry, you actually have to grow up a little bit. So if I take the example of the accounting industry, so if you're an accountant and you will have received your certification from one of the global industry accounting bodies, whether it's ACA or ACCA or CIMA, and what that really is that's the industry itself sitting down and saying, okay, well, what does it mean to be an accountant? What are the skills, apart from double entry bookkeeping and some good calculation skills or whatever they are, that means that you can say that I am an accountant? And not only that does it mean that you can say that I'm an accountant, but that qualification acts as a currency and is recognized internationally. So it needs to have transferability and interoperability, for want of a better phrase, between countries, between jurisdictions, between colleges and between employers. So in order for an accountant to move from Germany to Ireland or from Idaho to New York, they need to understand a common standard. So we have advocated from day one and now publish the most widely taught digital marketing standard. So what we did is we approached Google and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and about another 15 of the big digital players. Plus, we sat down then with all of the large digital marketing agencies, all the big digital advertising agencies, the big global guys like Publicis and stuff like that. And we said to them, okay, well, let's create a standard that we as an industry can gather around and put the stamp of approval on to say, okay, well, if you have this qualification standard, now you have true transferability. Now I can actually understand what your skills are. If you're a business owner or you're about to hire or work with somebody in digital, how do you really know what their capabilities are? And this is one of the biggest problems. We work with a lot of, we'll say, recruiters, and they say, okay, well, I have people coming in to do interview, and they say they know digital marketing, but how can I find out? Well, based on our standard, we created a website called testyourdigital.com, and it's a free resource that any of your listeners can actually go to right now. Type in testyourdigital.com, and there are one of 8 different diagnostic tests you can take in order to grade yourself in terms of your digital skills. And this is one of the real benefits of having an internationally recognized standard, is that it's consistent everywhere, for everyone, anywhere. And it means that you really can get a really strong picture of where do I currently sit on my digital skills. We all know that digital is important. We all understand that the internet is here to stay, that it's an absolutely integral part of everyone's life. But the question is, where are our skills right now as a business, as an individual, as a team? So we get teams of people taking these diagnostics in order to understand, well, where's their shortfalls? Where are their strengths? Where are they good? Where are they bad? And so what I encourage everyone to do is ignore for 2 minutes the hype and the hyperbole and the hoopla and all of the fear-mongering about digital skills and actually get a real meaningful snapshot of your digital skills. Then you can plan a progression route or an education route or a qualification route for yourself in order to move forward on. But that's definitely the first starting point.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I think I'll go there myself. see if I have any digital skills. Well, we're only halfway through the Social Network Show for today. I'm your host, Jane Karwoski, and you are hearing from Ian Dodson of DigitalMarketingInstitute.com of Dublin, Ireland. In the second half of today's episode, you'll hear more about the crying need for employees with validated digital skills and how you can find out more about making sure your skills meet the need.
Questions? Comments? Reach out to us. Our email address is questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com or find us on Twitter @SocialNetShow.
Do you want to get inspired, motivated, and educated on today's trending hashtags? If you see a hashtag that interests you, go to hashatit.com and enter it in the search box. Hashatit.com brings every hashtag conversation from Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest to you in one place and in real time. It's a search engine, but for hashtags. You can also sign up and create your own hashtag board that you can share with your family, friends, customers, or fans. Don't forget to search for a hashtag at hashatit.com, the social search engine, and listen to its creator, Laura Paoloni, on The Hashtag Show at thesocialnetworkstation.com. You're listening to The Social Network Show. I'm your host, Dr. J. Along with you today is Ian Dodson, president and co-founder of Digital Marketing Institute. You've been hearing about the fast-paced, high-growth digital marketing industry, and it's filled with exciting career opportunities and exciting salaries. So I encourage you to visit dmipostgrad.com to download a brochure from the Digital Marketing Institute and find out why studying their postgraduate diploma in digital marketing is the perfect way to get ahead. The postgraduate diploma is designed, developed, and taught by industry experts with knowledge of cutting-edge trends and specialist experience, including Mr. Dodson. They will help shape you into an accomplished digital marketer with a skill set that covers everything from mobile, social media, and search marketing to digital strategy and planning. Ian, how many students around the world has DMI equipped with the skills and knowledge they need to excel in this industry?
Oh, wow. You put me on the spot there. I think just this year alone, about 10,000 people have taken our certification programs across 60 different countries. So it's a rapidly growing footprint in that sense. And really, I suppose it's testimony to the fact that no matter where you are in the world right now, that all innovation in marketing is in digital channels.
Actually, by the way, 10,000 is what my information said. So you're right. And having taught online for various universities for the past 9 years, I can personally endorse online education. And so at DMI, studying online means that you can enjoy the 24-hour access to your video lectures, downloadable support materials, interactive quizzes, whether you're using your tablet during your morning commute or your mobile phone on your lunch break or at home on your laptop or desktop. Study wherever you want and whenever you want, and you can complete the course at a pace that suits you. So I again strongly urge you to, whether you want to secure a new job, move up in your current organization, or grow your own business, visit dmipostgrad.com and download a brochure for the Digital Marketing Institute's postgraduate diploma in digital marketing and start realizing your digital career goals. Now, Ian, I have a question about the term postgraduate. Maybe you can tell us the various levels and how they shape up at DMI.
Sure, absolutely. So I suppose it's important to understand that when people engage in a course of education, what you'll find in most marketplaces, you get a lot of one-off standalone programs. And I think it was crucial for us, and it was really important for the industry, that we identified a very clear qualification roadmap, as we call it. So in other words, no matter where you are, whether you're coming to digital for the very first time or whether you're an existing graduate, you want to be able to step into a stream and a clear roadmap for where your career is going. So we've had a lot of people, what they do is they start with the most basic programs, professional diplomas. Those are 10-week programs. Then we progress into specialist diplomas where people focus on more specialist topics, whether that's just around search or social or mobile or analytics. And then we go on to, we'll say after your degree in Europe, you look towards postgraduate type qualifications. So we have both a postgraduate diploma and then a full master's level qualification as well. So it's crucial, I think, that when you're engaging in any form of education, you ensure that I know where I can go next, is that it isn't just a dead end. And that's something that our Syllabus Advisory Council advocated from day one, and that we were thrilled to be able to put in place and roll out internationally at this stage. You know, our programs are available online, but I think it's crucial as well that people understand that some of the top universities and colleges in the world now actually run these programs. You know, Westminster University in London, for example, are one of the top universities in the UK. NIIT in India, they're one of the largest training companies in the world. So across 60 countries, I think we have, an opportunity for people to engage in whatever way they prefer, whether that's in classroom or online. There are some extremely reputable colleges and universities that now roll out, and a lot more joining this year as well.
So this is essentially the same curriculum and same diplomas, etc., but there can be online or face-to-face.
Precisely, yeah, and that's a crucial thing, by the way. Just to, I suppose in terms of the delivery method, it's important that we meet people where they are, and some people prefer an online flexible option, as you say, accessing stuff 24 hours a day, and some people prefer a classroom experience where they actually meet a peer group and it's a very interactive, collaborative type of experience. And again, it's the seal of approval of colleges around the world. And I suppose, you know, without wishing to knock academia or wish to knock colleges and universities, you know, I mean, we work closely with a lot of universities around the world, and they take our programs. The great thing about it is that it's the same program. It has to be an internationally consistent experience around the globe so that you can stand over a certification like that. And so we're happy with that approach.
So you have accomplished all this in how many years?
Realistically, about 5 years.
Yeah, that's amazing. Congratulations. I'm very impressed, because I know that getting a curriculum and playing it out and actually testing it and seeing, you know, to get to this point, it's really a major accomplishment. So your association with universities, then, are you still planning to develop that with other, like, is it business schools primarily that you work with, or?
Yeah, it's a real mixture. I mean, you can see the full list on our website, digitalmarketinginstitute.com. It's a real mixture of colleges, universities, business schools, training companies. What we've also had is a lot of large corporate Fortune 500 companies adopting our certification standards and actually implementing them internally. So, for example, IBM have adopted a DMI certification standard for all their internal sales team, their digital sales teams. Similarly, Vodafone now provide Digital Marketing Institute certification to all of their 5,000 marketing staff around the world. So it really is about an accountable and traceable and trackable level of certification for people, both through college or through corporate internationally.
Mm-hmm. That's a great accomplishment, I think. I'm just really impressed.
Well, what's really interesting, actually, Jenny, is because, again, I think there's a terrible obsession within digital on this word disruption. And I'm always fascinated by it because I know there's a lot of successful online players out there at the moment in terms of providing education, whether that's Udemy or Pluralsight and stuff like that. And I think there's this constant fascination with the idea that just because the delivery mechanism is different, that therefore education is ultimately changed or devalued, or traditional education. I mean, education as an industry is a multi-trillion dollar industry every year. And the digital approach to education in terms of providing everything online and saying, oh, no, it's all changing, it's all going out the window, it's all disrupted, it's all dead, is actually extremely naive and short-sighted in my mind. There is an existing and well-functioning global education infrastructure across schools, colleges, publishers, test engine providers, et cetera, and really what DMI has done is, instead of shouting about how everything old is bad and how everything new is brilliant, we've actually, I suppose, gained that traction by engaging with education bodies around the world. Those old fuddy-duddy traditional education bodies that are every day graduating people, millions of people all over the world. That's not going to disappear overnight. Just because we have a new distribution mode or model called the internet, it still doesn't change the fact that education is the silver bullet. It is the solution to whatever ails an individual or an economy or a society. Whatever state a nation is in, education is the starting point and the end point for changing it, improving it, and getting it back to strength and growth. And those traditional and education structures are as strong as ever and as just as crucial as ever in this digital age.
I couldn't agree with you more. I know that people are always fond of saying the internet is the Wild West. And, you know, I live in Las Vegas. This was the Wild West. It isn't anymore. Sure. That is a phase of development, you might say. And as you say, you're helping the industry grow up, or the whole concept of digital become something that is not just, all of the things that you describe, people want to promote it as being so different. And it also reminds me of something my guest Lon Safko, the author of the Social Media Bible, one of the gurus of the field, and he said it's the same thing about marketing. You don't have just digital marketing for your strategy. Your strategy needs to be using all the different modalities, and you have different tactics within that. But if you don't have the skills to implement the digital marketing, then you're going to have a huge crucial piece missing in today's marketplace. I have a question on your testing for the online courses. I saw something about testing centers. How does that work?
Yeah, sure. Basically, we work and partner with Pearson, global education and testing provider. So Pearson VUE test centers, they have about 5,000 centers in about 160 countries around the world. So if you take a program online with us, it's not just a question of taking a little online test, because again, for a certification to carry any value, really what employers are looking at is, well, how difficult was the exam? And did you really do it? Did you really do it? So as opposed to something like the Google AdWords certification, where you take an online test and it can be you, your friend, your mother, or your digital marketing specialist doing it, really what you need is, it's called a high-stakes certification. So any really meaningful certification that you achieve, whether that's as a doctor or as a lawyer, has to be done in person. Your ID has to be verified. You have to sit in a controlled, invigilated environment, and you actually have to take the exam properly in that sense. So what we do is, while people take the course online, they then attend one of 5,000 Pearson exam centers around the world to actually take the exams.
Excellent. That's just gives me more and more confidence in this whole procedure. And you've identified the skills needed and the best practices, and in essence, you have set the standard. And what kind of, did you come across any resistance to that? Where was this? You've alluded to it, but I'm just curious as to where that resistance might come from.
Surprisingly enough, the most resistance came from the digital industry itself, which is ironic, really. Mm-hmm. You know what's incredible is that if you talk to students in, I was talking to some students in a class in Panama. I was also in India a couple of weeks ago. If you talk to students and people who want to learn digital, they want to learn in a structured, comprehensive, cohesive manner with really great materials, with fantastic lecturers, and they want to learn and get certified in a way that allows them to really improve their career and their lives. Now, in order to do that, we have to nail down what it means to be a practitioner in SEO. So, for example, in search engine optimization, what we do is we gather a whole bunch of subject matter experts. We get them to sit down and write down, okay, what is it you need to teach people to actually say that they are now proficient in SEO? And a lot of people within the industry really resist that idea. And they say, oh, no, it's changing too fast and it's moving too quickly. And you can't put this in a box and teach it to people. And they have to just do it. And it's kind of like, it's this Wild West nature and attitude that still exists within digital, which we're slowly trying to change. That you know, if you look at, they talk about commoditization as being a bad thing. Well, actually, you know what? Apple had to commoditize their phone in order for it to work in 180 countries and have a consistent experience across millions and millions of people. Commoditization isn't a bad thing. What it is a good thing, because it forces you to insist on a standard, on an agreeable standard that everyone can implement. It doesn't block innovation, doesn't stop you from growing and changing. So the biggest obstruction actually tends to come from within the innovation side of the digital industry itself, who don't feel that you should actually nail this down and actually agree on it. And I actually think that's just growing pains in my mind. And slowly but surely, if you look at what Microsoft did back in the 70s and the 80s, they created a global certification program around Microsoft products. And that program has been adopted by colleges, universities, and training companies in practically every country in the world. And that has allowed people to really learn that product set in a way that they can develop a career and progress along a path. So we really feel that, and we work closely with all the big digital marketing players. We really feel it's time for digital to grow up and to start really coming to the marketplace and coming to schools and colleges with an agreed set of standards and a syllabus that people can teach and that students can learn and that we can really cement. You know, what terrifies a lot of people is the idea that there'll be another dot-com bust or boom. And the way you avoid that is that you solidify digital as a viable marketing channel through proper education and proper syllabus and proper standards. And that's really where we're coming from on it.
Excellent. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Ian. Thank you so much for taking time to be my guest today.
No problem. Really appreciate it.
And don't forget, visit dmipostgrad.com and download your postgraduate diploma brochure. And my thanks also to you, our listener and most important guest, for keeping us company on the Social Network Show. I'm looking forward to hearing from you through an email to questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com or a tweet to me @socialnetshow2. Please do visit our website at thesocialnetworkshow.com, and you will find more episodes on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, to name a few. Check your app store for the Social Network Show app. Hope you'll listen again soon. In the meantime, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the worldwide show dedicated to social media networking and understanding the connected, networked world we live in. Listen to our archive shows on thesocialnetworkshow.com and follow us on Twitter @SocialNetShow. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia Incorporated. The views and opinions expressed are those of our host and guest and may not be the views and opinions of Social Network Intermedia.